A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Don't agree with that in the workplace.
Tim's flagship podcast number 306. I'm your host, Jamie. On this championship winning edition, I'm joined by my podcast pal, Stephen.
Oh, you are, boy.
And Melly.
You sure are.
Melly, we did it. It seemed improbable. It seemed impossible at times, but Angie's boys lifted the title.
Yeah, it's been a great week, hasn't it? It was a wee bit surreal to what coming up to the game on Saturday, because like, we've actually done this heading up there, like that way you've seen it and all that, but then you're like, we're going to get this today. And it was brilliant to clinch the cinch on Wednesday night. The scenes after that were brilliant. And Saturday was just on another level as well. It was a great time, and it's a good time to be alive.
Improbable. I don't know what you mean. Do you mean to say that when we were looking at footage of Ange Postecoglou, a guy we'd never heard of, on a balcony in London with Don McKay, without having to quarantine and without any coaching qualifications, as we were told at the time, you mean to say that you didn't think it was likely we were going to storm this league?
No, I didn't think we would end up pissing the league, to be perfectly honest with you. And it still hasn't sunk in. Melly's right. Like, I was watching it and I just kept thinking to myself when I was in the ground and watching all the celebrations, I was like, actually, this has been a brilliant season. Brilliant, brilliant season. We're not going to do the season recap thing, but it's been brilliant, and I've loved covering this season, almost probably one of my favourite seasons to cover, all the ups and downs at doing this podcast. And I'm standing in the ground and I'm like, I can't believe we've done it. And it was kind of a whimper against Dundee United, because like, it was just a draw is all we needed, really. You kind of wanted us to bust over the line a wee bit with it, didn't we, Melly? I mean, the celebrations made up for it, but the contrast between it was kind of, it was just confirmed against Dundee United, then we actually celebrated on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday was the Dundee United game. I think the result, once it got towards the end, the result was pretty inconsequential, because we were going to win it. So we got the point we needed, and it didn't really matter. As soon as the final whistle went, the game was forgotten about and it was just party time. But Saturday was the first game this season in the league that you weren't going into saying, we need to win this. Every game, the pressure that's been on, and I did say recently, maybe a wee bit of pressure will be relieved when we do clinch it and we can just go out and fully enjoy that. And that's what happened both on and off the pitch on Saturday. The performance from the players was sensational, the management, all the staff and all that, and then the fans as well. It was just a joy to behold people winning something and going and having a good time, because we've not seen that.
It was nice. Some other way, we send like round up 11 guys to come and play, come and make up the teams, wasn't it? Because they just weren't in it at all.
No, and it's a really enjoyable. I think back to some of those examples of the past. It's really, once the league is clinched, it's really enjoyable to just send the league off with an absolute rout. I remember like Ronnie Dyla's last game was one of those as well. Was that, in fact, is that the same opposition actually? That Motherwell,
same score as well.
7-0. Jack Aitchison, whatever happened to him, he scored that day as well. So it's always enjoyable to do that in the sun as well. Nice early kickoff on a Saturday.
It was brilliant. It was beautiful.
An absolutely great day. I was away. I didn't miss it. I wasn't here for the United game. I was down south, and I had to find somebody to see it. I'm never really sure. I've never done that in still in the UK. I was in London at the time, and I've spoken on the podcast before about having found Irish bars abroad. Mm. You're never really sure how to take it, because you can find an Irish bar, but mainly it's people watching English football and you're crammed into the corner. So I wasn't really sure what this was going to be like. But as soon as I got there, I felt like I was in Santa Pons or something. Obviously, it was an absolute Tim Slop house, and it was absolutely brilliant. What a night it was.
Loved every minute of it.
Tremendous.
I just loved every minute of the celebrations. But look, before we get to Saturday, you were up at Dundee United. We all listened, we all heard the post-match podcast, the reaction podcast that you did, which is obviously available on Patreon. And it sounded like it was a hell of a trip. But you were actually at the celebrations after the game. You committed to going to Celtic Park, didn't you?
Yeah, the bus dropped his bat on the way back. You could either get dropped off at home or dropped off where we get picked up, dropped off at Celtic Park, or dropped off where we get picked up, and chose Celtic Park. I just had that feeling that it's been a while since we sort of clinched it away from home in that sort of fashion. And I think just with the sheer relief and all that of everybody winning, you could feel, no, something special is going to happen tonight. And getting back to Celtic Park and on the Celtic way and just everybody running about, the fireworks, the scenes, the players coming out. I honestly think when Scotland beat Serbia recently in the playoff for the getting to the Euros, that was like out with Celtic, the best feeling I've ever had in football. But when Celtic and the scenes at Celtic Park the other night, I was like, I'm sure the day I die, I'll have a flashback of this. This will be one of the things that I was like, I've never felt like that before. And we've had good title wins, we've had relieving ones, we've had invincible ones, but this one just felt really special to me. I don't know why, it just felt as if not everybody's played their part here. We were never, ever really favourites at all until this year when we got ahead, and you just felt like the fans kept the faith here, the players did as well, and we deserved this. And just that sheer relief, joy, happiness, emotion, all the emotions all coming out Wednesday night, and the scenes when fireworks going off and then the players and Ange coming out, it was brilliant, and the photos were great.
Before we move on, I just hope that's a peaceful way out for Melly though when he thinks of that. I hope it's not like
rock climbing accident. Yeah.
A morbid
slips off a cliff. Fuck Celtic.
40 years time when Melly gets struck by lightning, he goes, Tannery's made 22. It's a bus or something.
Well, there's nothing seedy either.
Found on the back of a wardrobe. Anyway, enough of that. I just had to get that out there. Proceed.
It feels so good because I was thinking about this as well. It feels so good to win this title. This feels sweet because it's like we deserve this. This is our title. And there was so much crap spoken about Celtic after we lost one league. We won nine, you lose one, and
you're labelled a prat.
From all quarters. Everywhere, from within the club, out with the club, us, Celtic fans everywhere, bloggers, Twitter, podcasts, journalists, us, absolutely everybody is just questioning whether or not the club can do it. And then Celtic fans obviously started to believe, we started to buy into Ange again, well, most of us did. But even from outside, it was just like, this Rangers team are excellent. And they are a good Rangers team. They're obviously a good Rangers team, as shown by how they've performed in other tournaments. But it's just great to get it back and just be like, you don't really deserve this. Yeah. This title's actually, it looks better in green and white. The party at Celtic Park looks better. Everything just makes sense when Celtic are champions.
Yeah, well, I believe that we only can fully take these things in the fullness of time. It'll be a couple of years when we'll look back on this. But in the kind of raw emotion of it just now, and we're only a couple of days on from the party at Celtic Park on Saturday there.
I still get heartburn.
this is up there with those Donner meat pies you've been having.
Oh, they didn't have them? No, they didn't have them.
I firmly believe this is up there with some of the most enjoyable seasons I've experienced.
Definitely.
Certainly as an adult. And I've spoken in the past before about how you're always kind of battling against nostalgia with this. There's nothing quite like it when you're going along at like 13 or something like, and you think it's the most amazing thing you've seen, and you're hero worshipping all the players. So for that to happen when I'm the age I am, and for me to compare it to those things like that, it's no mean feat really for me to lump these seasons in. You know, the Invincible Treble was something else as well, but to have taken the title back in this manner against, as much as it sticks in my throat every time I go to say it, they're a good team.
Yep.
Right? And that was highlighted on, I listened to a podcast the other day, I can't remember.
It's not being an RCL podcast.
No, it wasn't, but it was. I can't remember I can't remember the contributor, but he was on a kind of Scottish football podcast talking about the start that Celtic made this season, and we were all here for it. Lost the first three away games, drew another one as well. So lost three and drew one of the first seven games or something like that. And the only team the most recent team to have done that, to have as bad a start as that and go on to win the league, were Rangers in 1993, apparently. I think those are the details on it. But the key difference there is that Rangers were able to do that because Celtic were lamentable back there. They were absolutely terrible. This is totally different. Celtic overtook the best team in the league from last season, and the team that were favourites to go on and do it again, the team that are in a European final as we record this. So that's a massive achievement, and it's why it's making this so enjoyable.
And it's the manager as well. There's so many elements of this season that really make you buy in, but as well, it's the manager. And I was trying to think, like, of all the profiles of manager we've had, it's been a long time, because Brendan Rodgers came and he was already kind of a superstar manager.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And Neil Lennon comes in and he's like nobody's sort of favourite. But I mean, immediately everyone's got Ange's back, and you're like, you want this guy to win the title. You want to do it for Ange.
Yeah, I think even if he hadn't won the title, the way the season panned out and the way he has with words as well, you're like, no, do you know what? Even if we fall short, we'll get there next season or very soon, because as you say, look, unbeaten last year, Rangers went through the campaign unbeaten and they're in a final than now. That's the last we'll say on them. But
I've always just, I don't know if I've mentioned this in the podcast, but I've just been a Frankfurt fan for ages.
They are my German team.
So that shows you that what we're up against. We Celtic have won the league. Even the invincible treble was tremendous, but we won that with seven games to spare or something. It was an easy one, but this one, every time, like, we had to fight for every single point here. And when it was clinched and you're looking at it and you say, right, Ange Postecoglou, how did he create this? How did he do this? With his words, the culture he built up over the year. But when you look at the league table, we finished 4 points ahead when it was sealed. Mm. That's two last minute wins when we're down to 10 men up at Ross County and the one at Dundee United at Celtic Park. If Celtic don't scrape out those victories and never stop to the end, the whole complexion of this changes. And you felt at the time those were really important goals, because Ross County game was, we were struggling for players at that time, and then the Dundee United game was a couple of days before we played Rangers. So you're just looking at these pivotal moments and going, it makes a difference what this guy does and says and how he tells this team to go about it. And look, they get the rewards at the end of the game, and they got them at the end of the season.
The day itself, Stephen, the match itself, Celtic were absolutely flying.
Yeah, as I said, it's very enjoyable to finish off the season that way with one of the best performances of the season, one of the most enjoyable. Some of the football on display was absolutely brilliant. And I suppose the party atmosphere probably contributed to that. Yeah. It's probably quite easy to go out and express yourself in that kind of environment when you've already won the league. The final thing on the Dundee United game before we move on, my only disappointment with that was that sometimes when results like that happen, my only disappointment with it is that it kind of changes the way the history looks back on
the league.
We've seen it before. Even Martin O'Neill's first season, it was basically just a procession to the title. But then once the title was clinched, we started dropping points, started losing, and then that makes it look tighter than it actually was. So I thought, I don't want to draw the last couple of games of the season. That kind of makes it look as if it was under threat at any point. But no such worries on Saturday, of course.
It's a turnaround as well for last season. I mean, to go from 20-odd points behind to even 4 points, I would have settled for three, but six obviously looks better. Aesthetically, it's more pleasing. I mean. But that massive turnaround in points, like, there's almost no excuse. This is one of the first leagues, I think, for a long time where both teams have went toe-to-toe. There is literally no excuse. Rangers can't say we weren't ready, or our manager was there, or the players were playing rubbish players, or it was Pedro Caixinha. There is no excuse for them. They send your best team and let's see what you've got. And Rangers sent their best team. They went, okay, here's a team. They're invincible. We lost our manager mid-season, but we got arguing an even better one in. Got players in. There's no excuse Rangers fans can give. I know there's this myth developing, but Celtic spent loads of money in the summer. But that's one, it's not true, and two, that's football. You got your chance to go out and strengthen. We get our chance to go out and strengthen. You were invincible. You walked it last season. You were these massive champions, and we slapped you about. We absolutely slapped you about. And there were so many turning points from the season that you can pinpoint. And I know we says we're not going to do the season review thing, but we've kind of travelled somewhat down that road as I try and wrangle it back to the game. But you can just look back at the season, and there was pivotal moments in the matches that you mentioned, Melly, the last minute wins, but obviously beating them at Ibrox and murdering them at Celtic Park.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Carried us on the way to this title. But obviously all that sort of came to fruition on Saturday, and it was a party atmosphere. What was your pick of the goals, Melly?
That's a really tough one.
It's either the Furuhashi volley or the Giakoumakis overhead kick.
Yeah, I think I'll go with the overhead kick because the Furuhashi, well, the Kyogo one, I don't know why I keep calling him Furuhashi. Nobody
it's
else
his
does.
Name.
Nobody else does. It was a great ball through from Ralston and a great volley, but the Giakoumakis one's just so aesthetically pleasing and just. It's so aesthetically pleasing, the finish as well, but the sheer brute strength for the guy to just keep a guy down, hold him down. And look, Stephen O'Donnell is a well-built player. Yeah. He's no slouch either. So just hold him off and then fire in that finish. It was absolutely tremendous.
Kind of like his goal at Tannadice during the week as well. It was like a brute force header from that kind of distance. I know it wasn't far out, but the cross was such that he had to kind of crane his neck and get that in the roof of the net. So He's been absolutely brilliant. I think, what was that? He takes himself to 17 goals.
A goal every 90-odd minutes. Again, I know I picked up on that in the last podcast, but now having scored two, I think it's a goal every 92 minutes.
He's the joint league top scorer, despite having barely played in the first half of the season. It's an incredible performance from him. I can't really disagree with that. He's tried that a few times, the kind of overhead kicks, and he's come close on a couple of occasions, but this one was absolutely perfect. Quite hard to describe. I wasn't even that surprised when he did it. It wasn't like
he was shaping up for him for the minute the ball was coming in, eh?
He looked as if he's been shaping up. It's the minute he got into the team months ago, he's basically been shaping up to score something like that. So it wasn't like I didn't have a jump at your seat. Oh, what did we just witness it? I was kind of expecting that out of him because he's been trying it for a while.
Jota, I thought he was playing a bit like a man possessed, tried to score for the corner, tried the old Anthony Stokes. We ended up getting another corner out of that, despite the fact that the keeper never touched it. He just swung it right on top of the keeper. I think it clipped the top of the bar and went out, and the ref very kindly gave us another stab at it. I know there's been lots of rumours about Jota. People have heard things, people have said things. We've heard things in the podcast about him staying, and there's been rumours in the Portuguese press about him staying and all that sort of stuff. But if I could take anything away for that performance, he looked like a guy that was looking for a big sign-off. He was playing a bit like a man possessed. He was getting involved in everything. The celebrations after it, he looked as if he was taking it all in. So my takeaway for that is, just purely judging by that performance, I don't know if he's staying, Melly.
I don't know.
Do you take it in for the performance?
No, I just think he's a brilliant player. Mm. So you can look in it one way, or you can look into it and go, look, maybe that's just him happy as a champion and ready to just go out and play with freedom, because the whole team done that. I struggle with it because you can look at it and go, nah, he's away, because he was out after it, and I've seen him out on the pitch as well for a long time when all the fans had left. So I don't know. I mean, I've seen there's a wee video of Juranovic saying to his wife, you going to stay? You going to stay in Glasgow? So I hope he does stay, because I just think in the last few weeks we've seen this guy's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And when at the game at the weekend, all the flicks and tricks when he's on song like that, you're like, these are the people you would pay money to go and see. Mm. Like, you see Kyogo and Giakoumakis banging in the goals, but they don't have that skill that Jota's got. And I think if you take Jota out the team, I think he's the kind of only guy we can't replace. We can replace Kyogo with Giakoumakis, but when you take Jota out the team, we don't have MD with that trickery and that skill, because if you look, Abada, doesn't do that, Forrest doesn't do that, and Maeda's all hard work. It's not about the technical side with him. So if Jota does go, I still think we need a winger, but we think we need another one. But I just pray that he stays next season and beyond, because I think next season we could see even better from him, to be honest.
He's going to be a hard player to replace.
I remember having the discussion a couple of weeks ago that I thought Carter Vickers would be the harder one to replace out of the two, because if we set those parameters, if you can only pick one. But that doesn't mean I think he's going to be easily replaced. Yeah. I don't think you can just go out and get a Jota.
I think Jota will be harder to replace, to be honest.
You think so?
Maybe. I don't. I thought that at the time. I thought Carter Vickers would probably be more difficult to replace because he slotted in so well and he just looks absolutely perfect for the team. And maybe I said that when Jota was on a little bit of a dip of form. But when you see what he's truly capable of, it does give me that kind of extra pause for thought when considering that. Jota, if he is to go at this point, it's a good way to sign off. But I think, purely my own opinion, I'm basing this on nothing at all. I think if he was going to go, he would have made it fairly unambiguous. He would have made a big, probably more of a song and dance about it. Kind of, you know, made it clear. Maybe a wee bit of kind of showmanship. Boots in the crowd and all that.
Maybe. You don't really see that anymore. You see a lot of people with signs, give me your ex, whatever. And then you saw a lot of the people taking in the national flags. But you're right, you don't really see those boots in the crowd anymore.
There's a boy behind us with that hands give me your jumper sign.
Rude.
Far too big for him.
Pretty rude. Carter Vickers... It is a tough one. Who would be more difficult to replace? Because I've never seen Carter Vickers fazed by anything.
No.
He is unbelievable, the player. I think, unbelievably, I think Carter Vickers is probably the most underrated player in this league.
There's probably a case. Well, possibly. I don't know what the rules for that would be.
Well, you still hear, even on Sports Sound this week, they were still talking about how Celtic could improve in their centre halves. And that's the country's... But what you don't hear is, like, you don't hear Carter Vickers picked out in the press for glowing praise. And it's just because I think he's one of these players that just turns up, does his job, makes it look easy. But in actual fact, it's just because he's so good. He's a bit like, it's kind of like the league's too easy for him. A bit like Van Dijk was, a bit like Denier. Well, maybe not Denier so much, but Van Dijk was at a period of time. He obviously doesn't have the skill that Van Dijk does, but just he's just not fazed by anything.
No, I've never even really seen him under that much pressure. No. I've never seen him panicking, running towards his own goal, pulling jerseys or anything like that, which you can sometimes get from even the best of defenders. You'll probably see a moment from that. The Carter Vickers, I do see that argument a lot, and I'm kind of tired of it now. I'm sick of the examining Celtic players with the he could be easily replaced stuff. Because of course they could, right? Kyogo could be improved upon, but it would take Haaland or something like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you could basically improve any player in the world. It's just, it's quite...
When you're playing fantasy football with no budgets and you're just picking players out of Y-Scout, you can tell there's a guy in the Israeli league, but go buy him instead.
It's such a facile, just hollow argument as well to try and do down anyone's achievements this season by saying, oh, there's better players in the world. Okay. Big thumbs up to that. But I've thoroughly enjoyed watching the guy play. So no, I've not really got much more to add to the Carter Vickers thing other than he's been absolutely phenomenal, and I hope both of them stay.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's realistic that both of them will stay. The trouble with these things is once they've kind of done Scotland, you're dealing with agents, and I'm not talking about like nefarious agents being in players' ears and giving them bad advice, but agents are there to make players aware of the fact that, you know, Jota, you might be a 60 grand a week footballer if you make the right move.
Well, I've heard that Newcastle are looking at Carter Vickers.
That's a good example. And Carter Vickers might be the same. He might be worth 45, 50 grand a week if he makes a decent move from Spurs, but Celtic simply can't offer that. I think that's the biggest obstacle to these things.
I think the problem is with Carter Vickers, a lot of people go, he probably wants to stay at Celtic because he's been on loan so often.
Yeah.
That's one argument. The other argument is, as a player who has no problem going on loan and staying a season at a club, because there are probably other clubs during his loan period that wanted to keep the guy, but he's went, do you know what, I'll just wait until someone and weigh up my options at that point.
Yeah, it's a bit different this time with going into these things, you're like, I don't know, but these are two guys who aren't that young and haven't played a lot of football, the two of them, first team football. So, and I just get the feeling like the scenes in Saturday and all this season, like, the whole club has embraced them and the fans have obviously embraced them, and it kind of feels like a home for a lot of players now. And I think with the management and going into the Champions League straight off, not having to do qualifiers is a big difference for players. So even if they did another year or two, it could be a big one. But just with the Carter Vickers versus Jota, obviously I'd love the both of them to stay. I quite think they will both stay. But if you're picking one, I kind of think if we got a left-sided centre-half and move Starfelt across, that might work in Celtic's favour, whereas with Jota, trying to get a player as good or better than him is going to prove very difficult.
Yeah. Look, we've got Christopher Julian, who obviously has not endeared himself to Ange Postecoglou in any way, shape or form. I don't mean throughout the season. I just mean maybe that most recent interview that he gave to, I think it was Goal, a French newspaper or a French website, basically just outlining and saying, I've been fit since January, I've been 100% ready to play, and this is the kicker for me. He goes, the manager doesn't pick me. He would rather pick a midfielder who can play in centre defence, which is a quote, probably referring to Nir Bitton there. And I think he did also go on to say, so I need to consider my options in the future, but if the manager gives me some game time in the last game of the season, it will help me, you know, maybe convince me to stay. So he appeared on the team sheet at home watching it on the television. He didn't even make the bench, did Julian?
He was up in the podium after, but...
Oh, was he?
Sheik, yeah. Him, Barkas, Ayeti, Soro, come
Yeti.
On.
Ayeti had suit Ray-Bans on.
Has Ayeti played this season? He must have.
He has.
At the beginning of the season.
Has,
but as Barkas?
Yeah, he played against St. Johnson.
There
yeah.
you go, aye. But Julian hasn't?
He came on for 10 has. Minutes.
Yes, yes yeah. he did. Came on. Okay, so they've all contributed, fair enough. Would you be sad to see Julian go, though? I think it's... I trust Ange so implicitly that if he doesn't want Julian or doesn't see a place for Julian, I'm perfectly happy with that.
I love Julian when he first came in. His first season, he was brilliant, good at the back, and a real threat going forward. But last season, he got injured and we barely seen him. And then this season, we haven't seen him at all, despite him being there. And if you're kind of Celtic and Ange, you're looking towards this season and next. If there's no future for him, why would you play him? So if there is a future, you would play him. And we just didn't do that. Stephen Welsh has been on the bench ahead of him all season.
Ange has been quite clear as well, hasn't he? Consistent on, I've got time for players who want to be here.
Yeah.
And that sort of, you know, regardless of what Julian is saying in the press to maybe endear himself with Celtic fans inside the club, might be slightly, might have said some stuff or might be clear that he maybe wants to go in the summer. And Ange's like, well, there's no point.
Yeah, well, the fans can feel however they want about it. But the fact is, Christopher Julian's got every day at training to prove to the manager he should be in the team. And the manager's decided that, no, I'd rather have the two centre-halves who've been brilliant all season and Stephen Welsh on the bench. So, look, Stephen Welsh, I think he's a decent player, but... all he didn't do was get ahead of him and Julian couldn't do it. So if he had a year left in his deal, he's probably on decent money. Probably about the right time for a guy that to go. He's not a young guy anymore. He's 30 nearly or coming up to that. So I think he was a good player for Celtic, but the team kind of moved on and it's nobody's fault really because he was injured.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Summer is here, the sun is shining, the shirts are off, and your balls are smooth. You heard that right, your friends at Manscaped are here to make sure your beach balls are as smooth as Floridian sand. In summer, you want to kill some cold beers and barbecues, not kill the vibes with pubes peeking out from underneath your swimming trunks. That's why Manscaped has a Performance Package 4.0 to keep the party in your pants looking crisp and refreshing all summer long. Dive headfirst into summer by joining the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, and get ready for hot guy summer. Go to manscaped.com/Tims for 20% off and free shipping. The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 has everything you need to prepare that summer body. Inside this package, you'll find a lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver ball deodorant, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. Stephen, what else could you possibly want?
Well, you could explain exactly what that product is. The Lawnmower 4.0, that's just a ball sack trimmer.
That's exactly what it is.
From your podcast mates. And yeah, crack on.
There's no other way to put it, Stephen. That's exactly what it is. It's just a ball sack trimmer from your podcast mates. And if you go to manscaped.com/Tims, you get 20% off with free shipping. This is the summer to turn your package into the full package with Manscaped. Any sympathy for the Julian case?
Nah, not particularly. I mean, I said quite early on when he was on the way back that people were clamouring for Julian to come back into the team because Starfelt had had a couple of ropey moments. But I, all along, right up to that point, I just said, like, we might be the only, you know, people saying this. Like, the fans might be really clamouring to get him back in the team, but Ange doesn't really care that much because he's perfectly happy with what he's got. It's not even as simple as, I agree with Melly that saying that he's got ample opportunity to show it in training to get back into the team. But even at that, It's not even as simple as that either, because it's pretty much a closed door to him because of the form of the two guys ahead of him. It's kind of like, it's not to the same extent, but you could have the best backup goalkeeper in the world doing it in training, saving penalties left and right in training. But if the guy in front of you is better, you're never going to get on the pitch. To a lesser extent than goalkeeping, because that's very specialised, but I can't think of a single reason to break up the partnership of Starfelt and Carter Vickers. I know people aren't as adamant on that as me or some of the people in this room talking about the centre-halves. They're not as keen on Starfelt as I or we have been. But even if you accept that, I still can't think of any reason to break them up because of the form of them, how few goals they've conceded, how little trouble they've been under. I don't really think there's any reason to just... I bet Julian was brilliant 2 seasons ago. You know, he scored against Lazio. That's not a good reason to get back into the team. That's in the past, and that you can't take that away from him. He's keeping that. He's taking that home with him.
Yeah.
But that's no reason to get back into the team.
And you know, Neil Lennon rotated his centre halves and chopped and changed, and look how well that worked out for him. You know what I mean? It's no something that many managers tend to. Look, we need to discuss it. I was nearly greeting when Tom Rogic got subbed when he burst out crying. I was like,
you think you're ready for it, don't you? You think you're ready.
It's come as quite a surprise to me. I think Tom Rogic is just one of these players who just, he's contributed so much to Celtic, and you just never thought he'd go. There's no reason not to think he would go. He's obviously, you know, born here, he's from Australia, and he's got a family now and all that sort of stuff, and he'll want to do other things with his career. But just when he posted that thing on Instagram the night before, I was like, hold on a minute, what's going on? And then the next day it announces he's gone. You're like, it was a soaring. It's been a while since that player's announced that he's leaving, that you go, fuck, that's an absolute gutter.
Yeah, I wasn't too surprised by the post. I think I woke up on Friday morning and got told about it. But then the longer the day went on and you're just thinking about him, and like, I always say it, like, the guy's highlight reel is up there with Thompson, Sutton, any guy
Celtic,
you could think
Celtic
of.
Celtic posted a sort of highlights / goodbye video, and I needed 2 separate boxes of hankies.
What, for crying or something else?
Yeah. No, that's why I had 2.
So it was devastating, really. I'm gutted with the guy because I think he's been so good for Celtic. I thought the end of last season was the time to cut the ties and go, look, that's us. But when he came back this season and was just born again under Ange, I think this has been his best season for us. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. And said a couple of weeks ago, I'd give him another contract. And now it just sort of comes out that he's wanting to go. And you can't begrudge him it either. But just when it hits home and you see the video and then you see the wee interview clip, and then Saturday, you're like, oh man, there's not been a guy that this much of a hero probably since Henrik Larsson. There's not been many people that have stayed around that long with Celtic, and most players that stay around for long are come through the youth team or, like Scott Brown, come from Scotland. But rarely do you get two foreign players that stay as long as him and Beaton, and you're just like, he's just there, and when he's there, Celtic win trophies and he scores peaches of goals. So you're like, oh, he's not going to be there anymore.
I mean, he's going to be a very, very difficult player to replace. I mean, what a free transfer he's going to be for some for someone. He's only 29 odds, but these players that can just turn up with these moments of magic, unlock the defence. He's such a skillful player, as we've spoken about a million times, taking the ball in the half turn in tight spaces. It's and everything he's given at the club as well. He's going to be a big loss.
Oh, scale per supreme, isn't he?
One of the biggest. If you take just the Huns as the two separate entities for the purposes,
they'll be
of this.
Buzzing to see the back of him. Oh, yeah. They'll be delighted.
I actually saw there was a tweet from an SPFL sort of chat account. I can't remember what SPFL banter, I think it may have been. And he said that he was a Motherwell fan. He's glad to see what a player he's been, but I'm really glad to see the back of him because he seemed to save his best performances for against us. And there was loads of people in the comments saying, Don's fan here. Yeah. I think you'll find that it is. So yeah, a few people will be glad to see the back of him. But Ange put it in a really good perspective talking about him. As Melly said, it's a foreign player who's come here a long, long time ago, 9 years or something like that, he's been at Celtic. And you sometimes forget that you've kind of watched this guy grow up.
Yeah.
And Ange was talking about how he came over here as a teenager or whatever it was. He's now married with children and all that, or at least one child. And it's probably just a kind of, it's time he got the road. I don't know, wherever he ends up, it doesn't matter whether he wants to go and try himself in Spain or Italy or something like that. One final season before he maybe goes back to Australia and wants to live there. I don't know. But it kind of put it into perspective for me what you're kind of dealing with, the human side of being a footballer. But him as a footballer, incredible. And his contribution has been massive. I always find myself being kind of turned off by the whole, is he a legend? Is he actually a great chat? Because I don't really know what it means. But I've also kind of always believed that being a legend at a club involves a huge amount of contribution, yes, but also distance from that person's playing career in order for us to distill it down to what really mattered. So if you remember players from the 90s, 80s, 70s, whatever it is, you probably only remember the highlights. So we'll see, once Tom Rogic has been gone for 10 years, we'll look back on what a player he actually was. Because you're always, again, this is the second time I've used this phrase tonight, but you're always battling against nostalgia when you're comparing him to creative players of that ilk. Because names, again, I'm not particularly interested in these comparisons, but names get thrown around like Nakamura and Maravchik and all that. But what you're dealing with is people who have grown up past that era and look back on these guys thinking, what about those magical moments? You don't always remember the games in between where they were probably quite ordinary. You think of the big moments.
The run-of-the-mill.
Yes. Yeah.
Back and forward.
Yep. And if there were podcasts back then, people would complain about them from a week-to-week basis, and you only remember the big moments.
Like we've done with Tom Rogic.
Yeah. And that will happen with him as well. I firmly believe in 5-10 years' time, we'll be looking back on just what an incredible, an absolute magician of a player he was. We've had our gripes with him over the course of the 7 years we've been doing this podcast as well, but that's only natural. That's being a fan.
It's been a footballer as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. But now that that chapter is closed, the guy deserves to be spoken about with anyone. Even if it's in the same sentence as some of the names I've just mentioned, even if you don't agree with it, the debate can happen, the argument can happen, even if he loses it, in my opinion. I think he's been an absolutely tremendous player for Celtic.
I would say legend. I would say that, because when Stephen was rhyming off all those guys, whether it be Nakamura, Maravchik, even guys like Thompson, Hartson, Lennon as a player, Rogic was there longer than all of them, won more trophies than all of them, scored bigger goals than most of them as well. So you're thinking, like, guy has to go down there. The only thing that maybe doesn't go against him, but it just sort of hit home this week as well, is how little we've heard of Tom Rogic over the 9 years.
Yeah,
it was even like Beaton as well, barely heard him speak as well when coming up with all the interviews. So to see him and then see with that wee clip of the interview, and then I was lucky enough to speak to him after the game on Saturday, and the guy could hardly get his words out because he was that emotional, and seeing him walk off, and you go, you kind of sometimes tell yourself, he's not really bothered, he'll go up the road to Australia any minute. But how many contracts has he signed here? How many times could he have left? But he chose to stay here even the summer there when he was meant to be away. He's like, I want another crack at it. I want to get the trophy back with Ange as well. And you're like, you know what, man, this guy he does love the club. He's been here that long. He can't not.
There's a human element to all these things. I know funnily enough, we touched on it last week a bit on, didn't we? We were talking about, like, do you want Celtic to just be this, like, ruthless corporate machine that as soon as you're passed, you know, a number on a spreadsheet, you're cut off and your career's done. And there is an element to football has to be done like that, and all businesses have to be done like that. Don't just keep guys about and pay them massive amounts of money just because you like chatting to them on the day-to-day or they make you a cup of coffee in the morning.
Right, good teammates
and all that sort of stuff. And obviously we have taken that too far. But then when you look at the likes of Nir Bitton and Tom Rodgick, this club matters to them. Yeah, do you know what I mean? It really matters to them. And there are no guys that were brought up supporting Celtic, but there they are both absolutely devastated. Nir Bitton's another one. Nan spoke about how after the game, he says, look, he's a fantastic influence around the training centre or whatever he says in the dressing room is the word I'm looking for. Fantastic influence around the dressing room. Him and Callum McGregor really helped galvanise a squad for me when I came in. And you think, there is more to it. Yeah, sometimes, do you know what I mean? It's like, you take a player, whether it's Nir Bitton or anyone else, and you keep him on the books because of what he offers, and he trains hard, and if he's called upon, he can drop in and he can contribute a wee bit like that. He's no breaking the bank. There's a bit of investment in there. You've trained him up. There's a bit of previous investment. You've got an asset there on that guy, and he's obviously a good guy that the club want to keep about. And when I was thinking about that brought also to mind this new James Forrest contract, because people were sort of like, what, 3 years for James Forrest? Look, one, if Ange wants it, and he clearly does, fine. James Forrest has been at the Celtic Football Club his whole life.
Yeah.
Celtic have invested a lot in James Forrest. He's not everyone's favourite. He's probably not going to start every week. I'd be amazed though, Steven, if he didn't take a wage cut. Ange's obviously like, look, James's contract's running up. There's people within the club obviously want, but I'm sure Ange's got final word on it. And if he's like, that's a guy that can contribute, he can drop in, he can come in and out for his, then I don't really have a huge amount of issue with James Forrest getting a couple of years.
Jamie, this is supposed to be a party.
Right.
Do not ask questions to which you do not want the answers.
Oh, no,
what you've done there is basically the equivalent of maybe you've gone to your significant other's family for Christmas dinner. You don't know either that person or their family all that well, and you've asked the grandparents who they voted for, and now everyone's sitting like, oh, I hope
it's a controversial subject, is it, the James Forrest thing? Get him out, Sharon.
Yeah. I wouldn't go that far, but I think I was shocked by the 3 year thing. I think they worded it slightly wrongly. I think it's he already had a year and they've extended it by two.
Right,
But the tweet said a further 3 years, and everyone thought, so 4 years, four more years of James Forrest. My first reaction was,
I'm actually now more comfortable knowing that.
Right, okay.
You know, because I did have my reservations about it, but now I'm more comfortable knowing that.
My first reaction was that I do think it was silly. Handing out a contract like that. And I've seen all the arguments for it, and I've listened to you.
I've heard all your arguments. Is that what you're going with that?
I don't like a single one of them. What I'm eventually going to do is I'm probably going to come around to what you've just said there. Mm. It's not that big a deal, but if we are going to examine it on the kind of footballing side of things, I think it is a bit mental, to be honest. Now, I've seen the arguments that, oh, you need a homegrown player for Europe next season, but he's already contracted for next season. Why do you need him for a further 3 years to tick that
does
box?
Does the near bit on the sort of peek behind the curtain about changing rooms and personalities and all that, does that play into it?
Yeah,
I think so.
I'm sure it does. Maybe it does, because people say that it'll be great for like a young winger to learn from James Forrest. Why is it no done Mikey Johnston any good? Because everyone the people who defend James Forrest will also say Mikey Johnston's a total fraud and no good enough. So why is it no influence?
It's not necessarily James Forrest's fault that Mikey Johnston hasn't kicked. I know you're being facetious.
It's a facetious example. Right. You know what I mean? I know it is important, but if I was to throw that back, people would be like, not him, somebody else.
As long as he doesn't block any pathways, do you know what I mean? Say Jota leaves and their first two choices become Abadan Forrest or whatever on that set, you think to yourself, or Forrest drop naturally just returns to first choice and is you're like, nah, this is not what we're looking for. We need James Forrest needs to be the supporting actor. He's not Denzel.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll let you come in every second, Mel. I'ma let you finish. I'ma let Mel you in. This requires of me to have a lot of faith in what Celtic are doing and where they're going. And that does work, because I do have a lot of faith in what Ange Postecoglou has brought to the club and his beliefs. What kind of gives me a little bit of hesitancy when there's a little bit of reticence is that Celtic are quite bad at phasing players out of teams and have been in the very recent past. Scott Brown was nobody's going to like me saying this, but he was terrible last season, and the only reason he was still playing was because he was given a silly contract at 34 because of 10 in a row and all that kind of stuff, right? We've gone down that road before. We played Scott Brown every single week until he was 30 games from full retirement, because he played 30 games for Aberdeen and has since retired. So there was no phasing out there. What I can imagine is James Forrest playing far too much in seasons to come.
Yeah.
But that hasn't happened. I'm simply trying to explain my reaction.
You're not making this out of thin air. There's reasons, as you've laid out, to be sceptical. And I've got to admit, they do play into my thinking a wee bit as well. I'm like, I hope it's not just going to be like, oh, we need to get him tied down because we don't know if we're going to keep Joe. Or it's, you just don't want to block any pathways. But at the same time, I have sympathy now for the intangibles of a player that perhaps don't come on a spreadsheet, and that they help build, you know, camaraderie in the dressing room and all these things that we speak about, Joe Hart and all that. James Forrest is another one that's like, Roger, you don't really hear an awful lot about James Forrest. You don't really know what he's like in the dressing room. And just for me, Melly, it boils down to, if Ange clearly thinks he can contribute, if Ange is happy, then I'm happy to keep James Forrest on. That being said, I would just be happy with the extra year. I just don't see how much he's going to contribute in 3 years' time.
That's entirely my point, yeah. I think he is going to be contracted for next season anyway.
Yeah.
Just let him play that and see how it goes, give him an extra year. So I think
finding out that piece of information may have changed my perspective on it entirely.
So I think it is a lifetime achievement award for him, which I'm totally fine with. If that's how it's framed, then who am I to complain about that? It's a couple of years for a guy who's given an awful lot to the club.
Or again, just basing it based on the language Celtic used for a further 3 years, he might have been on next year's contract, might have been, what, 20 odd grand a week, and he signed 3 years at 8 or 7, or maybe, and we needed to free up some wages, or I don't know. Pure speculation, but look, that's why we've got a podcast.
Yeah.
We're here to discuss the facts of the case.
Facts.
We're here to nitpick and speculate.
I kind of agree with that. I think it was when I felt a bit strange about it, like Stephen, I was like, why not just give him an extra a year on top of the one next year and then see where we go? Because we all know how wingers over the age of 30 go. It just a sort of decline for them. But I think looking at it with Rogic and Beaton, two very popular guys in the change room, we've seen the massive turnover last year, losing Scott Brown, Ayer, Edward, Christie, guys that have been here for quite a while.
And before that, Lustig and even Gordon and guys like that as well were probably bigger.
Gordon last year, yeah. So you're looking at it going, well, who are the senior players in this team? And if you take away James Forrest as well as Beaton and Rogic, it's Joe Hart.
A very young team as well.
Joe Hart and Callum McGregor, and Joe Hart's out of contract at the end of next season as well. So there might be a wee bit of thinking about, well, long term, these guys, like James Forrest knows what it takes. He probably knows better than most people what it takes to be a Celtic player, because we wanted him out at certain points because he wasn't doing it. He was nearly away. Brendan Rodgers came in, revitalised him, but there's a kind of rewriting of James Forrest's career as well with this contract, because he was good at the start, very, very poor up till Rodgers came in, good for a year or two, down, Lennon got something out of him, and then since then, I mean, we've really seen much.
We've written him off in this podcast plenty of times, and he deserved every one of them.
But the thing Stephen said about maybe Celtic hold on to these players too much, I think that's kind of, that is true in the past, but that's again labelling what we tried not to do at the start of the season, is label this Celtic team in with the rest. Ange isn't the kind of guy that's just going to let a guy stick about. If he wants them, then there's going to be reasons for it. And with Lustig and Scott Brown, we never brought in replacements for them that were good enough. But with James Forrest, he's already maybe fourth choice option out wide. So if we sign Jota, I fully expect us to sign another winger as well as James Forrest, but he's not going to be on massive wages. He's been there and done it, so I'm happy to have him, but I just don't see him making a massive contribution for Celtic anymore. And like, I think on Wednesday night's game at Tannadice, when he started, like, I can't remember him doing much, and I always say it, like, Abada and Forrest were the starting wingers, I think, and like, you're like, right, this might be a difficult game now, because where's the creativity there? There isn't much, and we've seen it wasn't until Jota came on that Celtic really sprang into life in the second half. So yes, give him a new deal, that's fine, but we can't be relying upon him to be a creator for Celtic, because we've seen this season he's just not done it. He has been injured, but even when he has played, get one league goal all season.
a couple of pet peeves, right, that I need to get out, right? So, one, I didn't like the situation around the trophy presentation. There was a couple of things I didn't like, right?
Ooh, if party I'm being
honest. Yeah, if I'm being honest, I felt the air was kind of seeped out of the balloon at several occasions. So one, bringing the trophy up the Celtic way by Paul Lambert, I'm kind of the trophy should be delivered. They should be presented with it, and that's it. But then they sort of had a photo up of the trophy prior to it, and I was like, right, okay, the air was let out the balloon a wee bit there. And then okay, Tom Rogic and nearby Tom brought it out, and I thought that was a nice touch, right? But then Cal McGregor carried it himself over. There was like a few moments where he carried it over to the rest of the team. And then they did I just thought it would have been so much better, right? Tom Rogic and then nearby Tom bring it out. They place it on the plinth in front of the players. And then Cal McGregor walks up to the plinth. It's already placed. And you win it the minute he lifts it off. That, to me, is better than this sort of, oh, is it now, is it now, is it now?
Dragging out a boot room, no.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think so. I think what they should have done is, and this is a niche reference, but I was just talking about it before we turned
the mic on. Shot it out of a cannon.
Abseiled into the stadium.
HBK style.
I don't think it's, maybe someone watching this will know what I was talking about, but the Royals, man, they did something weird again last week where they were driving the crown about in a Rolls Royce and people were out in the street applauding it. And I was like, weirdos, man. It's tradition.
They could bring it up the Celtic way in the Pope mobile.
Basically, a bulletproof Pope mobile, screech it right out onto the pitch and then just give it to Callum McGregor. But the weirdest thing I've ever seen is people out applauding that kind of thing in the streets of London.
So I felt the air was let out the balloon a wee bit there. Also, now this is going to be very controversial. As much as I like hearing it, Champions League music must be reserved only for Champions League nights at Celtic Park.
Oh, I don't know about that. Why? I don't really have a problem with any stuff. I'm sure the trophy's been brought up
again, Melly, we're just hearing nitpickers.
I know, but I don't know. I think that's been done before. I don't know.
It has been done before. Yeah. I just don't like it. I want it to be more impactful is what I'm getting at.
I thought it was quite nice beat on and that. Where they drop it, wasn't really a bother to me. I wasn't even really thinking about it.
So you've basically got no opinion on much. No. You said you're fine with it all.
But the Champions League music, I think, because that's we've never been able to do that before. Never have we won the league in the whole nine in a row where we've went straight in there. So just to remind you that's coming back to Celtic Park, because it has been, this will be like the fifth year coming up since we were last in it. And you're like, this is why you work this hard to get this reward. I had no problem with that. I thought it was brilliant when they played that.
I enjoyed it, but I thought it was
cheap. Just reminds
you
what's coming.
It's a wee teaser trailer. Was that like a wee YouTube teaser trailer for a forthcoming film, really?
No, it was cheap. It was a cheap laugh for me.
Right, that's that one ticked. Next, what was the next?
Cal McGregor's not very good at speaking from the heart. I love Cal McGregor, brilliant player, but he's media trained within an inch of his life.
That's where I have sympathy, because I think footballers are all like that nowadays. I think when
that's not necessarily a criticism. Maybe he just doesn't want to. Maybe he doesn't feel comfortable. Just public speaking is a difficult thing, as we're going to find out.
It becomes a meme when players actually do say what they think and what they feel. Do you remember Charlie Austin a couple of years ago? It's a joke. He went on, it was like one of these, it was either on Sky Sports or somebody's like got all the adverts behind him and he's been interviewed and he just went absolutely off on one about the ref, and all of a sudden people were cutting it to Park Life and all that, and he was on this like cockney rant. So whenever someone does stick their head out there, put their necks on the line and actually tells you what they feel, people ridicule it.
Well, maybe what happens is, I found with Ange is, and I do love Ange speaking from the heart, but I feel like every time a journalist in front of him, do the thing where you speak for the heart. They're like trying to prod an emotional response at the guy. Angel's like,
your dad, eh? Mention your dad.
I know. He must be like, bloody hell, man. So maybe McGregor's like, I'm not falling into that trap. If I'm boring, people won't ask me to do this very often.
Aye.
What did you make of the celebrations as a whole? Oh, final pet peeve, stop letting your kids run on the park.
Aye.
Come on, it's for the players. It's
and Land Down Under to Angel's walkout music.
Yes, men at work come from a Land Down Under. Can I believe they played the Celtic manager dirty like that? Unbelievable. But those are minor peeves.
You've been on for about 5 minutes here.
All right, okay, well, I'm allowed.
What are you moaning about? Kids, fans from the stadium running onto the pitch?
Yeah, just people letting their kids run onto the park. I just feel like that's no
way. I thought you were talking about Joe Hart's kids and all that. I get off, come on, you're ruining the occasion.
Remember, there used to be people like we don't want the players' families on the pitch. There was an argument that when that first started, people were against that. Not talking about punters for the crowd lifting wee Jaden on the part, and then he's just getting tackled by
Stuart.
You've just reminded me. I saw Stuart take a boot at one. There was a kid running behind the goal.
It was a guy that landed behind Martin O'Neill. Have we seen it for Sky's perspective? It's brilliant, man. They're filming, they're videoing Martin O'Neill and Petrov and all that. This guy runs by. Clips the back of his heel.
But that must have been a different one because it was the other end. It was the other end of the pitch. I saw somebody take a big, like, two-footed lunge and the kid just sort of ducked through it and kept running.
Brilliant, man.
There's some dodging going about on Saturday. I really enjoyed it.
I don't think the stewards at Celtic Park go through any sort of agility training, you know what I mean? Like, toddlers are just running away from these guys.
Get a sports scientist for them.
He's the fastest kid in the world. It's like that from Superman. He's the fastest boy alive.
It's a shame, man. But I thought the celebrations were brilliant. I thought it's better letting the players all go around and having their families as well. But it was just brilliant because it does feel like a long time because last season we didn't have it. Obviously, in the season before, we didn't get to have the party when we won the league. So it was just great to see that the sun was out. Everybody just felt, plus it was a Saturday as well, which is quite unusual. So you've got the early kickoff on the Saturday and then you've got all day, and just the celebrations there were class. Getting it, and because it was a kind of happy farewell as well. Rogic spoke about it as well when he said, look, some players, I think he was talking about Scott Brown, are here and they don't get a farewell, but he felt it was like a fairy tale ending. You're like, do you know what? That's fair enough, man. The guys earned this. And look, the players have earned it and so have the fans as well, because that was tough at the start of the season. But most of us, everybody stuck by it. And the longer it's went on, everybody's just been right behind the team. And you see that in the performances as well. Sometimes you feel like the fans drag them over the line, and we've done that in some games today. So it was just that sheer emotion of everything that's happened this season over the last couple of years, where you go, got it back. We've got the club back. We've got the trophy back. And It's a new thing for Celtic as well. I think the Callum McGregor thing with him lifting the trophy and he said, I've got my baby back. He's grown up just winning trophies for Celtic. It doesn't happen once. And then he goes, nah, this isn't how it should be. And just feels like everything's sort of new for Celtic. It's a new team, new management. It's just brilliant to watch because you get celebrations sometimes and you go, and maybe some of the nine in a row ones you maybe took them for granted a bit because the wins were easy and you're kind of used to it. But with this one, you had the harsh reminder last year, then you had the absolute grind to win this one, and you're just like, this is tremendous, this is the way it should be. And the scenes inside the stadium are brilliant, and if you walked into town after it, it was even better, man.
It's a good point on just to drag us back to Rogic for a minute, it's a good point you make on the send-off sort of thing. And even taking that aside, it's just what a way to go out it is as well. Like, to go out on a win like that, to win a double and get back into the Champions League. I know the argument could be made, but you stay to get back into the Champions League. But there's always something.
Yeah.
What a perfect way to end.
Then you don't win next year and you go again.
Exactly. So to get out of that kind of hamster wheel of trying to go out at the best time possible, Scott Brown, you're right, didn't get the opportunity to do that. And it's just a perfect way to go out, to just get that league back after the lull of the defeat as well. Because we spoke numerous times about certain players coming to the club, and see, if you're winning treble after treble, you're making it very easy for players to probably consider themselves to have completed Scottish football. Right, let's get out of here, there's nothing left to do. But to have won the nine in a row and suffered that humiliating loss and to stick around for one last dance, one last ride, to actually win it, that's perfect. It's just, as sad as I am to see Rogic in particular go, it's probably time. It's probably a great, great closing chapter for him.
10 in a row with fans in the stadium. Back on top, baby. And that is all for this episode of 28 Minute Tims. We have one more flagship podcast for the season. Obviously, the Patreon content continues. That flagship podcast is live next Friday at Drygate. It's sold out if you've got a ticket.
Sold out Drygate,
I know. If you've got a ticket, we're really looking forward to seeing you there, our first ever live show, and we'll hang about for a wee while after it and say hello and get a drink and all that sort of stuff. But thank you to everyone who watches us and supports us throughout the season. Thanks especially to those who support us on Patreon, because honestly, it's been brilliant. How brilliant has it been? It's covering Celtic this season, all the Patreon stuff. Next season, we've got the Champions League. It's going to be sensational.
And we'll be back bigger and better next time around.
Because we never stop recording podcasts. Thanks for watching and listening.
VAR this, VAR that. Help the officials out. Clearly they need help. Give them all the help they need, because clearly it costs us 2 points a day. It's a joke.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.